Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's one of the great scandals of our time that millions of American children come to school every day hugely dependent on the meals they receive there to avoid hunger and malnutrition. And while our traditional public schools do heroic work in this realm, the hard reality is that things as welcome for most families as holiday breaks can be a recipe for hunger and suffering for others as access to school meals dries up. One person doing something about this situation is Turquoise Parker, a teacher at Durham's Lakewood Elementary School. Over the last several years, Parker's response to the needs of an individual family for food over the Christmas holiday has morphed into a large and growing volunteer program that helps provide free and nutritious food to scores of low-income children and their families over the winter and spring breaks. And earlier this week, I sat down with Mrs. Parker to learn more about her efforts, how work is already underway for the upcoming school spring break, and how interested people can support this effort. Well, Turquoise Parker, welcome to News and Views. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Hey.
It's great to have you. So you've probably told this story, you know, a lot of times, but I wonder if you could tell our listeners about how you got started creating this food program for Durham public school students and their families.
In 2015, in December of 2015, one of the families at my school asked if I knew where she could get food for her children for the 2-week winter break. She let me know she had nothing at all in the kitchen. And she said, I'll be fine, but I want to make sure the kids are okay. And at that point, I was focused on that family. Got to make sure that family is good. So my husband and I didn't even have to really say anything more. He was on board to make sure we got that family taken care of, got them some Christmas gifts, because commercialism and capitalism makes us feel like we have to do Christmas presents. So got them situated. And then as he and I were set feeling comfortable that we had gotten that family taken care of, then we realized if one family is experiencing this and asking these questions, then there's probably other families that are experiencing this. So I reached out to just about everybody in my phone on Facebook asking for donations. They could drop off food or they could donate money or anything so that we can make sure we send the children home with food for the break. And that was amazing because we got everything for the kids that, I mean, in like 2 days, we were able to get everything for my one class. And then the next year, that was so successful the year in 2015 that I realized not only was that successful, but helpful for families. Because you think that some families have more than one child who's out of school for the break. And children are ravenous. I am. And I get home from school and I'm like eating everything in sight, trying to make sure I pack something in the morning to have a snack on the way home. So making sure that families have something to ease the blow that grocery bills are. So that success and how helpful that was followed the year before that, we made sure that we were able to do that same thing. And every year has become even bigger and even more successful and helpful for families. So we are preparing for spring break of 2022 so that we can do our best to help our children and families again. The reason we do winter break and spring break is because those are the two times a year that the school's district child and nutrition office, child and nutrition department does not provide meals for children. In the summertime, there are meals throughout the year. There's meals, but not during spring break or winter break. So that's the main reason that we do that.
I know my own wife was a special ed teacher in Wake County for many years, and she dealt with the issue that her kids would come to school hungry sometimes. It was obvious that this had a huge negative impact on their ability to just function in life, you know, and I'm sure that's probably something you've seen at times with your own students. I mean, notwithstanding all the incredible efforts y'all make and that Durham Public Schools make in trying to get food to families, but it's, and I think for a lot of average North Carolinians, they just can't grasp the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of people in our own state where they don't know where their next meal's coming from. It's a remarkable reality.
It is unfortunate, and that's one of the feelings and sentiments that I've shared whenever I've had an interview with lots of different news outlets, is that this is something that is incredibly beautiful and a demonstration of our community being in this together. Also, this is not something that we should be celebrating super hard, because it should not be the case. We're not talking about a new pair of shoes or the latest iPhone, or we're talking about food. We're talking about groceries.
We're talking with Turquoise Parker, who has a lot of titles. She's the media coordinator at Durham's Lakewood Elementary School. She's also the vice president of the Durham Association of Educators and the director for North Carolina, the National Education Association, and just an all-purpose Triangle Area community hero. So this program's become pretty big, Turquoise. How are you managing just to handle the influx of food that you get in and around these holiday breaks? Is it going to your home, or how are you and your husband and just managing it?
It takes a team. It takes such a huge team. And I'm amazed at how much of a team this has needed, because the amount of children that we're serving has just grown every year. So I'm grateful for incredible administration who is supportive of the vision that I have and that the team has for how to execute this as seamless as possible. So we have so many partnerships. Shout out to Lowe's and Costco for a lot of their support, and Lowe's for their generosity, and hundreds of volunteers, because you can't get that stuff in the bags. Like, a machine does not put that stuff in the bags. Those are real human community hands, like people who live in this area in Durham, Raleigh, Chapel Hill, coming here and putting all those bags together. So the goal is for this to become a thing that we don't have to carry, that we can have elected officials who will make sure that we fully fund our public schools and that we make sure that our families have access to resources that they need. Because again, we're not talking about going and buying brand new clothes, which people should be able to do. We're not talking about going and buying $700 shoes or a $600 pocketbook. We're talking about food. So we hope that we aren't doing this for a long time, because we hope that this is something that is dismantled, that we can continue to operate in an anti-racist collective to dismantle the chains that has us even having to do this. Until we get there, we're going to keep letting this grow, and we are going to use our resources just as we've used them thus far to make sure that we have everything we need to accommodate the generosity of our people, which is the growth that we experience.
I've talked to folks before who've led very large food banks, which is in effect, it sounds like what you've sort of just the job you've taken on for yourself. And a lot of them have said how much better it would be if our society simply treated, you know, a basic family income as a human right, and had everybody had enough money to buy food, so it wouldn't be necessary for charitable enterprises like this to step up and do the job. But you're just dealing with the cards you've been dealt, which is that you're not going to watch your kids go hungry. So I'm sure you share that same sentiment.
There's that peace of mind that you have of making sure that families are okay. It's really hard. Similar to Thanksgiving 2021, my husband, my daughter and I were about to head out of town for Thanksgiving for the holiday with our families. And I got about 4 or 5 calls within 2 hours before we were about to get on the road. We don't have anything, and making sure that we could go here and go there and grab this and grab that, so those families could be comfortable for that Thursday, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that we're out of school. There's just a peace of mind that comes with knowing that our children are okay. And there's no other way that you can slice this apple or peel this orange, however you want to say it, than to say that this is a failure of the system. There's no other way, and we are not doing what we are supposed to do. And we really can point at our elected officials who are in those positions of privilege, who are not using them to make sure that our families have what they need. And especially I think about Durham, how Durham has such rich history of Durham's Black Wall Street. I mean, we're talking about Mr. Charles Clinton Spalding, Mr. W.G. Pearson, Mr. Merrick, Dr. Moore, these very wealthy, incredibly strong Black men who had an outrageously amazing entrepreneurial spirit in this city. And here we are looking at the schools that these bags of groceries go to. That's unacceptable that the school named after three men who were truly some of the most wealthy Black men in this country, that now these schools are filled with children and families who are on the receiving end of these groceries, who need support to make sure that they have resources to take care of their family, that the system that took down Black Wall Street has caused. It's not something that is an oopsie day. This is something that is operating as planned. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we, again, dismantle the system. At every turn, we're doing something to dismantle this. And while we are working to do that, we're going to take care of each other, because nobody looks out for us better than we can.
Amen to that. Well, we're coming to the end of our time with Ms. Turquoise Parker, who's created this amazing program to feed hungry kids and their families in the Durham County Public Schools during holiday breaks. And we're getting ready for another episode of that in the coming weeks with spring break. Can people get involved? How would you suggest that people, can they learn more and get involved in your efforts?
If folks want to email me, my email address is Mrs. MRS Turquoise Parker @gmail.com, or on my Facebook or Instagram or Twitter pages, any of those social media outlets. If folks want to message me through there or email me, then I can definitely share the links for donating, because we are around the corner from our spring break adventure. That's what we call them. And so we do want to have lots of people support financially and with volunteers, because we don't just get, like I said, there's no machine, no robotic arm. Right. This food in bags and getting them on the truck and getting them off the truck to the schools, there's none of that. So we have
just to elbow grease.
Just a little bit. My husband, I was talking to someone else earlier, that my husband puts all of the bags, like him and the crew that's on the U-Hauls. When the volunteers are done packing, we bring the cart out to the U-Haul and they pick those bags up and are picking them up from the cart to the U-Haul, cart to the U-Haul. And so really the crew that's on the U-Haul, they truly touch all 5,000 of those bags. And it's just, it's amazing. It's hard work, but so much fun. We have music going and there's people everywhere. And it's just so much fun. And then we have the delivery. I mean, one night we were going, one of the schools we were at W.G. Pearson, there was like a slight incline from the place where we were putting them to the truck. And we were, one of the little carts that we were putting the bags on was like, it was like perfect. So we were playing like bumper cars and roller derby on the sidewalk to get back to the U-Haul to get more bags. It's a lot of fun. So just so grateful for the whole team. It takes a team to make this thing happen.
Well, congratulations, Turquoise. That's Turquoise, T-U-R-Q-U-O-I-S-E. It's going to be on our website at ncpolicywatch.com. You can find the links how to get up with Turquoise Parker about this amazing program she's been running for several years now in Durham. Thanks for your work. Keep up the great work, and we'll both hope that someday you'll have worked yourself out of a job.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.